Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. If you're a Shakespeare buff, you'll remember St. Crispin's Day, when King Henry V spoke from his heart to his soldiers before they launched into battle. And if you're a fan of Game of Thrones, you'll know how Jon Snow, Warden of the North, eloquently addressed the people after defeating the Night King and before the final battle of King's Landing. Or closer to home, and perhaps less dramatic, you've heard commencement speakers rally the graduates to step towards graduation and their future. These moments all have something in common. At the cusp of new beginnings, these moments shore up the values and meaning of all that had happened up until that point. They form the foundation, clarify purpose, and launch the people toward whatever is on the other side. It is a time to consolidate before moving forward. Today is our St. Crispin's Day, our eve of the Battle of King's Landing, our commencement. Welcome to the seventh Sunday of Easter. Jesus had risen from the dead, lived and walked among his disciples for 40 days, and ascended to heaven. On this 43rd day of Easter, just a week before Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit arrives to form the church, we are at the cusp of the birth of a spiritual movement. So what might be that final message we give ourselves before Pentecost? How shall we prepare as Easter draws to a close and we welcome the launch of something wonderful? The answer is found in shoring up the love we receive from God and then sharing it abundantly with others. God's love is what launches us into what's ahead. In today's gospel lesson, we find Jesus praying to his Father, and the disciples are intently listening in. Jesus talked about experiencing the love of the Father before anything came to be. An intimate and generous love where the two are so very connected. But this love wasn't meant to be exclusive. Jesus also prayed for all to know that God also loved the disciples with the same love. And this love they experience will empower them to be one with each other and one with God. I bet the disciples were thrilled to hear that. For the disciples and for us, to love God is to know God's heart. But this love is not just for us to enjoy in our own hearts. It is not a static, feel-good love, but an active love. We know because Jesus embodied this love as God's love in action. In his book, The Universal Christ, Richard Rohr wrote, "The world no longer trusts Christians who love Jesus but do not seem to love anything else." So to love only Jesus and not to love anything else feels hollow and selfish because God calls us to be active in our love for the needs of the world. Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke at the beginning of his ministry about what he came to do, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release of the captives, recovery of the sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." These are places where God's active love is most needed and where Jesus put love into action. Perhaps this love in action is what we also read in the book of Acts today. A slave girl was possessed with the fortune-telling spirit. She was very good at it and made a ton of money for her master. But when Paul cast out the spirit and the girl no longer made a windfall for her master, he got very angry, turned on Paul and his companions, and got them locked up. Now, did Paul know that this was coming? He most certainly did. Any Jew walking through the Greek city of Philippi would have kept a low profile. This might be why Paul hesitated to help her even as she pestered him for a few days. Helping would mean imprisonment, inability to do ministry, or even death. Paul was putting his life on the line. But expressing God's love in action by setting her free spiritually was worth the risk. Jesus calls us to let the oppressed go free. And right before Paul was an exploited and oppressed slave girl at the mercy of greedy men. There was risk, but sometimes love just does. That day, God's love in action sparked a chain reaction that eventually led to the prison guard coming to know God. Now, did he know that Paul was locked up because he had risked his life for the slave girl? He most certainly did. If the world no longer trusts Christians who only love Jesus but do not seem to love anything or anyone else, what might we as the church do to show that we do care, that we aren't just living in our insular church communities? Dr. Martin Luther King often said that the arc of history bends towards justice, and he urged us to stand on the side of justice so that the poor will receive good news, the captives be freed, the blind see, and the oppressed go free. But history doesn't bend towards justice on its own. It needs the force of God's love. It needs our love and action to get there. That slave girl, whom Paul freed spiritually, still faced an uncertain future. She was still a slave, and perhaps even more vulnerable now, as she was no longer of much use to her master. What might the church do to free her from her captivity? The prison guard, he also faced uncertainty. Would he lose his job or even be locked up? Might the church step in to protect him and his family and provide for his needs? Jesus paved the way. Paul moved things along, but the work of love continues. It doesn't stop at the end of our reading. The church today continues that work of love. We continue this work so the world can know God's love. So as we prepare for Pentecost, how might we pick up where Jesus left off? How might our love be the force that bends history towards justice? 2 weeks ago, Paula preached about the important work of dismantling invisible fences of racism, sexism, and exclusion based on gender identity. How might we continue to do this work of love? The Episcopal Church has been at the forefront of LGBTQ inclusion. But the work is far from done. How might we move beyond inclusion and toward empowerment and equality? In our work here with the homeless population, how might our love also bend the arc of history towards justice by doing more, perhaps engaging in housing development or policy change? In extending our work with education, how might we also creatively reform education so that more people can have access to education that transforms their lives and their communities? And how else might God be calling us, calling St. Francis Church, to risk our lives to be God's act of love in this world? The Easter season is a time of deep conversion, of witnessing the work of the early church, a time to prepare for what is ahead. Easter is coming to an end, and soon we will arrive at Pentecost, the founding of the church. So perhaps it is fitting for us to witness baptisms today, so we can renew our baptismal vows and re-engage our call to active love. Beloved, if we only love Jesus but don't do much to love the world will not trust us. The arc of history bends towards justice and bends towards love. But history doesn't bend toward justice and love on its own. It needs us. It needs the church. So on this day, as we await Pentecost, let us, let our love, let God's love be a part of ushering in justice and love. Amen.